Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Victorian Aboriginal News Van Talks podcast. I'm your host, Charles Parkiner.
Victorian Aboriginal News acknowledges and pays respect to traditional owners and custodians across Australia. We acknowledge the elders who have gone before, those who currently lead their communities, and those who will follow in years and generations to come.
Since 1851, there have been approximately 80 million ounces of gold mined in Victoria. Now, at the time of this interview, the price of gold is $3,500 per ounce, which equates to $280 billion in today's term of gold mined across this state. While there is growing conversation around the subject of paying the rent, what of that $280 billion in gold? Gold that has been mined from Aboriginal traditional lands with virtually no benefit afforded the traditional owners and custodians of those lands. Well, this is set to change. Following 7 years of negotiations, the first agreement between a Victorian traditional owner group and an active mining operation has been struck. The agreement, made between the Dja Dja Wadang Clan's Aboriginal Corporation, known broadly as JADA, and Agnico Eagle Mines, has four key components, all of which contribute to the environment, employment and economic participation for JADA. Joining me today on the program to speak about this groundbreaking agreement is JADA CEO Uncle Rodney Carter. Uncle, welcome back to the program.
Wawa, Uncle Charles, and it's great to catch up again.
We seem to be making a bit of a habit of it. Unc, let's just drive straight into it. 7 years in the making. I know it's a groundbreaking, no pun intended, agreement, but 7 years is a long time. What took so long? And then we'll get onto the specifics of it.
Yeah, so look, the probably simple description around it is some complexities, I think, in forms of negotiations, coming to agreements. There's always two places you start as an origin and you try and, you know, get to some common understanding. And fortunately, over that 7 years, we've landed somewhere amicably and somewhere we're extremely excited and proud of doing together.
Who approached who?
So within the recognition settlement agreement proper, there is a part that looks at land use activity agreements.
Right.
It affords those that are party to the principle of the agreement some rights. And then the transactional nature of it is classified in a schedule, and it can afford forms of community benefit from acknowledgement through to a monetary benefit. And there was a license application that triggered the lure, and at the time the Agnico Eagle Fossil Gold needed to put in a ventilation duct.
So they came to you?
Yeah, they came to us, as all others do, that trigger these requirements, and that gave us the opportunity, I think, to have that initial discussion and then a much greater discussion.
Was there discussion held within JADA prior to that 7 years, sort of just waiting for this opportunity to exist?
I think something that's been challenging for us, and maybe others don't always necessarily look at us positively, to be a beneficiary of forms of natural resources, and in particular minerals, and what we understand through the history of the gold rush, mining in itself, it's seen as a bit of a blight and a scar on landscape. But one of the things that our mob did for the full group at the time, the settlement agreement, no longer should we not be a beneficiary of what others are taking from country beside us. So we can't stop mining, and so we need to turn something that's probably challenging for us, really difficult,
yeah,
into an immediate and future benefit.
Challenging for you in what way?
I think it's where the money comes from. Like for us as people, we're not miners. Culturally, gold is described as kara, which was allowed to lay everywhere across the ground. So, you know, the alluvial nature when people come here and fossil for gold. And kara is the foot or two kick. So it's more of a problem. But as we know, as modern people, and all of these valuable items as minerals, they're significant, I think, to redressing some of our disadvantages, people.
Now, there's quite a bit of gold that is mined in this particular area, especially in the Fosterville mining area. According to the Agnico website, they're looking at 210,000 ounces being mined just in 2024. They also hold through that this mine will remain active until 2033. And that's what I want to look at right now, which brings in one of the key points, and that is remediation of the land. We'll come to the gold and compensation a bit later on, but I know from your perspective, your personal perspective, that land remediation is very important. We've spoken about that numerous times over the years. So if they're looking at around about 2033 of the mine ending, what's JARDA's expectation then?
So we've got the process in place to discuss what needs to happen in a restorative manner so country can sort of be healed. And that's, you know, our country plan talking about what we want to do in caring for country. We understand that there's this legacy where we describe again in the country plan, it's upside down country,
yeah.
Very, very modified and sort of disturbed. So we've got the process in place, I think, for us to now activate some of our strategies like forest gardening, gardening the environment, how does that relate to climate change, Nyawe Muchika, renewable energy. So we've got a lot of that stuff in place. It'd be then about deciding how do you enable and action that. Fortunately, with Agnico Eagle and us doing this agreement, there's discussion that they need to be compliant to the current laws and regulations about mine closure and that sort of stuff. And
yeah.
Where we've landed in this agreement is probably a more sophisticated place where, as Jar Jar Wurrung, we're at the table deciding help craft that country will now be given wellness back again as a people. And I guess that is just one of these unique elements that sits around this agreement as a first of its kind.
How much land are we talking about?
Very good question, Uncle. I couldn't describe that off the top of my head. The mining that took place before Agnico Eagle took over the operations was largely open cut area. Again, there's a lot of restrictions on mining, and there's actually the location of the gold. And what we're finding, if you drill into the technical nature, there is proposals around that there's deep leads within Australian geology and further opportunities in mining. So what we've seen is industry is probably a little bit more subtle in the way it's present on the surface, but then the activity, of course, is taking place sort of predominantly underground now with these very ancient leads.
But there are still obviously dramatic repercussions that are sort of set before you and the land as a result of those underground operations, because we know they just don't disappear once they're underground. So the question is that whilst the agreement sees that remediation of the land will be handed back to the JARDA, will there also be financial support from Agnico Eagle to ensure that remediation is achieved?
Yeah, so there's resourcing, I think, from the signing day one through to what is needed in ensuring we've got capacity, so the human resource, and then the funding associated with activities. So, you know, we're reasonably certain and comfortable that that is a commitment for the details in the agreement and with any corporate world, that they'll be consistently involved with that. And Jar Jar Wurrung's involvement, like we touched on with the restorative action, you know, we're not an umpire, we're not the police and all of this, there's laws.
Mm.
But we've got an inherent duty, responsibility in caring for country. Again, that's another thing that I think is fantastic, that it's embedded in this agreement, that we are culturally obligated to be caring for country. And so now we're a partner in being able to restore country and heal country from these types of activities.
But one would assume also that the restoring of country and the caring for country doesn't just start in 2033 when it comes to Agnico Eagle's operations. Does this agreement provide JARDA with the ability to get in there now and for the life of the mine, just to oversee, provide advice and guidance.
Yeah, so there's a lot of economic commercial activity and form of preference to Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung that are embedded into the agreement that are to our benefit and or at the very least for our influence, say, for others. And this is where we think our leadership involved in this agreement, if it's not immediately beneficial to Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung, we, just as much as our partner, Agnico Eagle, would be ensuring that the broader and other community sort of benefit from the activities. There's a state trust that holds substantial monies because of gold mining
right.
taking place in Victoria. When those leases are no longer active and perhaps a corporate doesn't meet their duty of care to decommission, the Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung's worked pretty well over the last 10 years at looking at what are the models for us to come in on these smaller operations and do the restorative action. So, you know, the type of terraforming of areas that relate to the geology, the topography, say, for the water movement to the vegetation that's needed. So we've learned along the way.
What about employment? Now, I noticed in the media release that was put out by JADA that there are opportunities for Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung people, local Aboriginal people, to be employed in these operations. What sort of scope are we talking about there? Can we talk numbers or aspirations at least?
So where the Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung would benefit in terms of employment, there's a minimum standard around the competencies of a person fulfilling a role. So it's not just Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung that would have to be of that, like any other employees, but a greater and a concerted effort and consciousness that Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung are the partner in this agreement, and employment in all of its forms can be a benefit to people. So from the implementation, the committee type project management through to working within the mine itself and its infrastructure, the opportunities there for Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung.
What are the other benefits that you and the others here at JADA see for the organisation and for the Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung people?
I think for us to have a developed capability, I think we've best understood and tried to teach yourself what is actually going on in mining and minerals exploration. And gold is just one element. And when we've worked on our strategies over the last few years, there's forms of needed dependencies around these rare earths and other forms of minerals. So it's helped us as a mob, I think, going down this path and this discussion to understand how can we be usefully a bit more sophisticated in the way that we look at renewable energy, the way we look at the forms of now reuse of waters in that country. And so now I think this is just another feather in our cap in the way that we care for country and sort of look after country. So unusually that's what's happened out of this. As I touched on earlier, there's a whole lot of mining activity taking place already in central Victoria. There's areas that need to be cleaned up. In the last couple of years, the North Central Victorian ground gold releases happened, so there's more players interested. I think we're more capable than we've ever been by going down this path. Now, if we can not divert resources but usefully apply this greater capacity in our capability improvement elsewhere in country, it's got to be better for country, and I would think it's going to be better for us as a people because we're more participatory now in caring for country.
One of the questions I've asked you in previous interviews is how do you go about sharing your learnings with other traditional owner groups around Victoria and indeed Australia? So obviously this over the past 7 years has been an enormous learning curve. You've got a lot of learnings out of it. One would imagine over the next 9 years, the projected lifespan of this particular mine, there'll be a lot more learnings. How do you anticipate that JADA will share those learnings with other TO groups around the state?
Yeah, so I think with our involvement, continued involvement in state engagement, and sometimes government facilitates that, sometimes we do it ourselves. I think for Dzhaa Dzhaa Wurrung in its pride, wanting to, in a constructive manner, share the achievement and the how and disclaim it that this might not be suitable for you and your mob culturally. So how do you adapt that? So we've been doing that to varying degrees of success over the last 10 years. And what I found, I think some of the challenges are, is the community, the members of that representative organisation ready to take that sort of step? And some of it's a leap, I think, in what you do. And we haven't done this overnight.
Sure.
Our successes have been built upon probably a couple of decades now of negotiations in our own right. Okay, let's get on with it and try and implement it. So our door's open, we'll participate. You know, we talk over the last few years preceding the negotiations. You know, the Minerals Forum conferences held in Melbourne and Victoria were spoken nationally. And I think to be repetitive in what we've done, because something's clearly not immediately understood in how Jadarong's done this. And so I think that's about us being courteous in the time we need to give others to understand this is what we've achieved. We believe in you. You could achieve this. We're here to help you if need be. And that is a significant good thing for us as a people, that we're not giving back just to our own, we're giving to others. And that builds into our philosophy about the good leadership and what Jar Jar Wurrung does.
And would you be doing that on your own, or would you be utilising the auspices of the Federation of Victorian Traditional Owner Corporations? Because obviously for you then to set up a communications line to all the other TO groups across the state, that's going to be an additional burden to you. So what other resources would you use to share this knowledge?
I think the still to be to determine exactly what the resourcing we apply through this agreement, to serve the agreement, but then to serve all the stuff that sort of sits around the agreement. That's an opportunity, sensibly. It might need to be even invested in by us, you know, for a greater breadth of achievement outside of, you know, this is an agreement around this current mining activity at this area. And probably working on a strategy, Charles, I think one of the things we've been really good at is turning a visionary thinking into decades, generations and centuries about what we want to achieve in healing country. So who knows, there might be an upside down country strategy in the making, at least as a thought at the moment.
Can I take it that you are, in your mind, you're working on an upside down country strategy?
Sometimes you've got to just set things aside and they've got to be fit for purpose. We wanted the state government actually to work collaboratively with First Nations Group and actually look at their earth resources strategy, and probably outside of our immediate intimacy of country, that's something that the state should be doing. We would be suggestive that's a really constructive thing to do. And it serves a bit of the purpose from your previous question. How do you help other mobs try and understand what they could participate in, benefit from, as bad as sometimes their mob think that mining, minerals extraction is? As I touched on earlier, whether we like it or not, we need to better understand what is a greater softness, appropriateness associated with minerals and these rare earths extraction, because inadvertently we've created a global dependency that future generations are going to have to grapple with. And so I think our current generation really needs to be solutions orientated. Why should we be better at doing these things? Because they need to be done.
Let's now address the elephant in the room, and that is potential for racism to rear its ugly head, as we saw it rear its ugly head here in Bendigo last year during the referendum campaign. Once the community starts to learn that the Jar Jar Wurrung are going to benefit financially from this agreement, and for our listeners, Uncle Rodney and I did yarn before this and were at this stage not permitted to talk actual dollars. We will be chasing them up later on in the year and trying to get some
more. Sure you will.
You know it. But the fact is that, let's be really frank, Unc, once the general community recognises or knows that the Jar Jar Wurrung are getting money from the mining, there's going to be a bit of a backlash. That's going to happen regardless.
Could be.
Have you thought about how that's going to be dealt with? Because you can't just deal with it like a media release last year.
So I think we've got a consciousness around that. We're probably outside of this immediately as form of subject matter. We understand how we respond to that type of behaviour. And that behaviour, sadly, annoyingly, is transferable across a whole lot of social presence as First Nations people, disadvantaged people with disabilities and gender, we know that. So I think we're in a really sort of respectful place to respond in a manner that we would hope when people hear us as opposed to those that are racist and discriminate against us can be proud of Dja Dja Wurrung. This is how they act. This is how they respond. Now, maybe more on the technical side of it, if there is a value associated with this benefit that we get on any of our audits that are publicly posted at ORAC, you will see that Dja Dja Wurrung, over the last 10 years of our recognition settlement agreement, is increasingly investing in our savings, so our prosperity and our wealth, but also back into central Victoria. So if there's a wealth coming from our homelands that sadly our ancestors didn't enjoy, and now we're at a really defining moment where a corporate citizen that's licensed to do this is choosing to share their wealth with us as First Nations people, I would say to others, if they want to be discriminatory, they are so misplaced in that type of thinking, because we've proven over a decade that we save our pennies and pence and we invest in our own back in central Victoria, not just Dja Dja Wurrung. And if you look at the economic analysis of what we do, we bring this thing called a multiplier effect to other people's economic activity. So those that choose to enjoy and be present in our culture and our presence as people, the multipliers are around 3 and 5 times of the economic activity. So we've been able to, through facts, figures and evidence, show others that we're caring, we're considerate, we want our homelands to be better, you know, over many centuries for future generations when I'm and others are long gone, and turn central Victoria Jandak back into something that's uniquely Dja Dja Wurrung, like it's never been in the last 200 years. So
and that
I'm prepared to be quoted on that and measured, because so far we haven't, you know, put a foot wrong.
And that would, of course, translate to what you're talking about, things on the ground such as remediation of country. That's going to benefit all Victorians, regardless.
Exactly.
Uncle Rodney Carter, thank you so much indeed for your time.
Duma, thank you, and Batak, take care, Uncle.
For a full transcript of this interview, visit the Victorian Aboriginal News website at vicaboriginalnews.com.au. Until our next episode, stay safe and stay informed.